And we're back in the studio. We have new guests sitting here smiling at us, sort of. And Chris.
Who are these guests? We have with us two folks from the Rock Creek Alliance, Gene Girth and John Edwards. Gene, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
John, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us in.
And kind of the precipitating event that's coming up is the annual meeting of the Rock Creek Alliance, and that is kind of a big event every year that happens in town. It's coming up August 18th, and we want to talk about that, but we also want to talk about status of the Rock Creek Mine, which is, of course, the work to which the Alliance is devoted, because the Rock Creek Mine, which would be upstream of Lake Pend'Oreille, threatens the water quality of our lake should that mine actually come to fruition. And it's more complicated than that because there are a couple mines that are proposed up in the Cabinets, right on the edge of the Cabinet Mountain Wilderness. That's another environmental concern of it. But tell you what, let's start with the annual meeting, which is coming up again on August 18th. Give us the who, what, when, where, and why on that, Gene.
Well, I'll start with it. There's going to be a fantastic band there, Headwaters, with John Edwards.
John Edwards is in that band.
Yes, yeah, and they really it is really good music, and it's I always enjoy that part. But it's more going to be a party than a meeting, although we'll provide an update and certainly ways to part you from your money there. Because
it's a fundraiser.
Because it's a fundraiser, and we're going to have a silent auction, and those... As always, a lot of local places have contributed to that silent auction, so it's a pretty good one. We'll also have some complimentary appetizers, and there'll be a bar open for beer and wine that part of those proceeds will go to the Rock Creek Alliance. So Matchwood next week on Friday from 5 to 8:30-ish.
And you can just drift in or out at any time. For the evening, but there will be a talk as well, right?
Well, yeah, we'll have an update. It's not going to be a real elaborate update, but we'll also have information there if you want to come and just ask questions or pick up some written information. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that would be really nice is to get more members. And if you're not a member of the Rock Creek Alliance, we need people. We need, more mass, more of our public joining in the fight and on our team. Clean water is why a lot of us live here, our beautiful lake. And we've kept this mine at bay for 26 years now, I believe. And the fight will never end, unfortunately. It doesn't seem it will. So we just need to, we need to keep building our army and building our resources. So joining is one way you can really... keep informed and contribute. So
yeah, I'm hoping that some of the new folks in town will come and find out. I think it's hard when you move someplace like this because you come because it's so beautiful and you don't want to think about the bad things. But protecting the water quality around here is huge, and we do need new members. And it's not like we bug you a lot, but when the time comes to write and to have your voice heard, it really helps if we have contact information for a lot of people to get that word out.
I think one of the things about Rock Creek Alliance, as you say, John, has been doing this steady work for over 26 years, is slightly, you don't see it everywhere. And so this is an opportunity for folks to come out and really get informed, because every time you look out at the lake, our beautiful lake, it's like our anchor here, is being protected by Rock Creek Alliance. And it's, kind of, like I said, kind of quiet, but this is an opportunity. And it is at Matchwood Brewery, which is located on Oak and 5th and, no, Oak and 5th and 6th. It's kind of right
Oak
in the
six,
Granary
yeah.
District.
The Granary, where you can see that big tower. It's easy to find.
Right. And what is that date again?
It's Friday, August 18th from 5 to 8:30.
So Friday after this coming Friday. For those who aren't acquainted, can you frame up what the proposed Rock Creek Mine is and why the Rock Creek Alliance has spent 26 years trying to oppose it, actually to prevent it from being built in the first place? And in a worst-case scenario, it would be to impose environmental restrictions on it that would ensure protection of the lake.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, we've been, there's been quite a few wins along the way as far as holding the mining company to higher standards than they otherwise would have voluntarily done. But the quick background is that the metal load in the under the Cabinet Wilderness, I think I've read, is the biggest copper-silver deposit. It's huge. Nationwide, it's you know, there's a lot of pressure to tap into it. And the problem with the Rock Creek mine, the biggest problem, is that they want to tunnel under the wilderness area to get to that ore body and then put the tailings impoundment right next to the Clark Fork River. And as far as I know, still the only standards for that tailing impoundment is that it withstand the 100-year flood. And there's been years when we've had multiple 100-year floods, and we all know what's coming. The other thing is that there's another mine called the Montanore Mine, which is on the, it's in the Kootenai River drainage. It's not in our drainage, but next door going through Bonner's Ferry. And then there's cumulative impact. So if you're going to put two mines in the same place, it's going to have a lot of impact that builds on one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the other issues are, you know, dewatering of wilderness lakes up there. And then, I mean, my biggest concern when I read about it is the discharge into the Clark Fork River. And to meet environmental standards, they have to do a diffuser pipe basically across the river to diffuse the amount of, so the parts per million are diffused so they can basically
pump in more because they're diluting it more, basically.
I believe it's 10 million gallons a day forever would be coming into the Clark Fork River of this polluted water. So it's a big deal. It's
so
a big, big deal.
What would be in that water? You may have mentioned that, but is it
it's
cyanide?
Heavy, well, it's heavy metals.
Heavy metals.
Yeah.
Anytime you go in and mine those kinds of things, you're not just extracting the copper and the silver, the water, there's a lot of water that goes through those mined cavities and it drains and it brings all this stuff to the surface that otherwise wouldn't be in the surface. Mm-hmm. So I think arsenic and
mercury.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe others. Mm-hmm. But stuff that we don't want to eat.
Well, it could actually
kill
aquatic life in the actually it would end up dumping into the reservoir. The mine itself is right near Knoxon, Montana. It's just about 20 or 30 miles upstream of Lake Pondere. So it would first go into the Clark Fork, which at that point is a reservoir, and then you know we'd be subject to that coming into the lake downstream. And it is, as you mentioned, right at the edge of the Cabinet Mountain Wilderness area and would actually, as proposed, would have to tunnel under the wilderness area, which
has never been done, which is a scary thing to have happen because then all our wilderness areas are subject to the same sort of, you know, extraction, resource extraction.
It sets a precedent. It's okay to take these areas that are, you know, protected by intention, because they're unique environmental areas that kind of might open the door to that happening elsewhere, I suppose. Yeah. What kind of impacts would there be on the wilderness area if there was a big mine right at the edge of the wilderness area? This wilderness area does support a grizzly bear population?
Grizzly bear, Rock Creek is a prime bull trout spawning area, and noise. And just the tailings impoundment, as we mentioned, it's quite visible, but it's also open to further catastrophe. I don't, you know, if you ever get a chance, go hike up to Rock Lake. It's not that hard of a hike.
It's 4 miles.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder. Okay, well, you tell them about it, Chris, because it's stunning.
It's beautiful. It kind of reminds me of the landscape you see when you're going to Glacier National Park, because you hike up a beautiful stream. It's nice and cool and in the cedar forest. You get up to a meadow, and the mountain lizards are kind of plunging out of the meadow. And then you proceed on past a waterfall, and you, there's a climb up to the meadow is really a pretty easy walk. It's not much gradient. Then from the meadow up is another mile, mile and a half that is a steeper climb to get up to Rock Lake, but it's one of these beautiful surf lakes. And you can catch fish in it.
And you can go swimming if you're really brave. I've done that.
That's right, yeah. My son jumped in.
Yeah.
It was not a warm day, and I did not jump in this time.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah.
So, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a I'm not a heavy-duty hiker, and I can do it. So.
Yeah. And the mine actually would tunnel under the lake, and there are concerns it could end up dewatering the lake, actually.
And I think there's even more evidence, like on the other side, the Montanore mine, that it would have big impacts on is it St. Paul Lake,
and the
water that's coming out of there, and that's a fairy land, man. That's one of my favorite hikes.
Now there is an existing mine in the Troy mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's also operated by Hecla, is it?
I think so. I didn't read up on that part.
What have the impacts of that mine been? That, of course, is close to Troy, so any of the water pollution would go into the Kootenai River.
Right. And they've had their, I know historically they were kind of bird dogged by the cabinet resource group and held accountable. I mean, that's the thing with mining companies. You have to have somebody who's watching all of the time, because the state agencies either can't or don't pay enough attention to holding people to what they say they're going to do. And so there was an issue with they drill wells periodically that they have to monitor the water quality, and there was stuff going on there, and the Cabinet Resource Group took them to court. And but the Troy mine's been closed for a while. I think that they're talking about reopening it, because as the metal prices go up and down, it becomes profitable for them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not really up on the Troy mine.
Mm-hmm. So what is the work that, I mean, we've alluded to it, but what is Rock Creek Alliance watchdogging, the litigation that's always happening?
It's a good lead-in with the Troy mine, because they have had a lot of environmental problems up there at the Troy mine. But basically what's going on with the Hecla and Phillips Baker is we have a bad actor provision, basically a lawsuit against Hecla, or against Phillips, actually just named Phillips Baker and Hecla to the lawsuit of this bad actor provision, which basically says that if a CEO or mining company has left a unreclaimed mine, they can't open another mine until that's cleaned up and taken care of. Well, Phillips Baker and Pegasus Gold have four mines that have still not been completely cleaned up. $74 million in cleanup costs to date, and that's taxpayer money from Montana folks. So basically, this guy's left a mess everywhere he's gone, and he wants to create another mess. And there's a law that says you can't do that, and we're still waiting for the ruling on that now. But we've just, Rock Creek has just got Phillips Baker's name in the lawsuit and Hecla, where before we were just suing Pegasus Gold. So we'll see what happens with that. It seems really straightforward to me when I read the law and read what's going on, and I'm not sure why he hasn't been dismissed from the company, from Hecla. I mean, it seems like that would be an easy move for them, so I'm not sure what's going on there. I would assume that we're going to win that case.
And where is that case being tried?
In Montana.
Okay.
In Helena. Yeah.
And so Rock Creek is really on the top of this kind of stuff. And researching, I'm just trying to get a sense of the work you're doing besides...
I mean, this thing has been, kept at bay through the laws that are in place. I mean, luckily for us, Montana has really good clean water. laws.
They're one of the two states in the country that has the right to a clean environment in their constitution. And that's helped. It's definitely helped. But
the political climate there has changed.
Yeah, the political climate has changed quite a bit.
There's a new governor now that is much more mining.
Right. And he's basically told the DEQ, I think, to just back off on this. And that's where, you know, it can look good on the books. The rules can be there, but unless somebody's really willing to enforce them, it doesn't work.
And changing a constitution is a bigger problem for those that don't want to protect.
Oh, yeah, right. The Constitution. There was one lawsuit, I think, that went to that level of the constitutional right to a clean environment. Mm-hmm. But it's a moving target. It's always a moving target. For some reason or other, in this corporate world that usually only looks two quarters down the line, mining companies seem to have this really long view of things, and they stick at it. And I think that we've been pointed out as the longest fight in a mine in the country ever, because it's actually been going on for more than 26 years. It's been going on for 35 years.
Well, and probably part of that is the fact that it has kept the mine from being developed.
Right.
Probably many of the other fights have ended with the mine
going in. Yeah. So we're in it for the long run. We need continuing support. It's really hard because it's hard to get people excited about lawsuits.
It's fatiguing to people, I'm sure, that, you know, Rock Creek Alliance still making this fight. But the alternative is a potential pollution source that would be just upstream of
forever.
Lake Pondere.
Forever.
Basically forever.
Yeah.
That's one of the arguments, however, they make. They say that, well, the technology is better now to deal with pollution from tailings. And I'm not sure if this would be a tailings pond or some kind of dry tailings.
It's a tailings impoundment, but we've in the past tried to get them to say that they would line it, which would at least keep the water from going into the groundwater. But it's still, well, so this brings to another point, just in case people have heard this, Hecla has relinquished their plan of operations for Rock Creek. And plan of operations is like one of the last steps before you can actually, it's not the last step, but they got that far. And now they're relinquishing it. But it doesn't mean that they're going away. And what it looks like is that they're now going to concentrate on Montanore. And they have to assess impacts of the mine. And if they had a plan, if Rock Creek were still active on their sites, then they would have to consider the cumulative impacts between Montanore and Rock Creek. And so our best guess is that they're putting Rock Creek aside for right now, concentrating on Montanore, getting that plan in so that they don't have to do the cumulative impacts. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, I don't know their strategy. But it hasn't gone away. It hasn't gone away, even though you may read that they've
relinquished that plan. At this point. There's definitely a little bit more of a wanting of the mine over in on that side. You know, there's not as much opposition over on the Kootenai side.
Because that would be Libby.
Libby and Troy, there's just a little bit more... at least, you know, that's what I hear. I mean, basically what's happened when we've heard that they were trying to reopen that mine is basically Rock Creek Alliance formed another nonprofit called Save Our Cabinets. And that's basically, it's really Rock Creek working on stopping the Montanore mine on the other side. So, we're focusing on that right now because that's really the action that's happening. I do want to, give a shout out to Mary Costello, our, executive director of Rock Creek. She's dedicated her whole life to stopping this mine.
Yeah, 26 years at least.
It's amazing.
Yeah, more than that, really.
Yep.
And Rock Creek is a great nonprofit. We have one employee. The money goes to stopping the mine. And so, if you donate, it's not like we're going to waste your money.
I don't think so.
Mary doesn't get paid that much, and she's just an amazing individual that's, you know, dedicated her whole life to stop a mine, which isn't that pretty of a thing to do. But look at our lake that we still have and our water quality. Yeah. So
thank you, Rock Creek Alliance, for all the work, and you guys for being on the board. It's vital.
And there are also other organizations involved. It's not just the Rock Creek Alliance. There's bigger, the
Earth Justice.
That's the national one, right?
Yeah, it's a coalition.
It's a coalition. So there's money coming in from other sources.
That's staging the legal fight.
Yeah.
Well, there is an argument to be made for mining, however. Mm-hmm. Of course, we do need minerals.
Right.
What do you say to that?
I say that you incentivize companies to go out and recycle. You incentivize people to use less. I mean, these are all real big picture things that need to change.
How about, are there areas that are less environmentally sensitive where mining's more appropriate?
Yeah, and, you know, the sad part is that this not having it here gets pushed, it pushes mining to other countries that don't have the kind of regulations that we have. So there's no perfect solution, but yeah, putting a mine in a place right next to a huge, fairly pristine water body where there's a lot of rain and a lot of rain on snow events, and that doesn't make sense to me. Under a wilderness area.
Yeah, under a wilderness area. Too.
Above a beautiful lake that is currently not as polluted as...
But it's a good question. I think it's a real valid question. I mean, we all use these minerals, and we need to... take responsibility that we can for that.
Right.
Okay, so we've touched on a bunch of stuff, but the event of the moment is that the annual meeting of the Rock Creek Alliance is coming up on Friday, August 18th. That's the Friday after this coming one. It's at Matchwood from, what were the hours
again? 5 to 8:30-ish, okay. Silent auction.
Yeah, lots of great, we have a big list of great donated items, so come on down. You can really probably pick up some stuff for a good price, and your money will go to a great cause.
Is there a website where we can find out more?
Yes, I looked it up. It's Rock Creek Alliance.
RockCreekAlliance.org.
O-R-G, yeah. RockCreekAlliance.org.
Yeah, that gives a ton of background information on the whole mine proposal and the work that Rock Creek Alliance has done over these quarter of a century to try to keep it at bay and keep the lake clean.
I think about all the new people that have moved here is a perfect way to get involved in your community, find out what we can do to keep it as beautiful as it is and safe and all those kind of things. Come on down to the Matchwood, which is in the Granary District, on the 18th from 5 to 8. And as Gene said earlier in the show, here's some great music.
Great music. Headwaters is really, they're probably my favorite local band.
Yeah. Oh, cool. I can't wait.
Well, do you guys want to do any final bit of information you want to put out there?
No, I think what Susie just said, though, it's a really good place to meet some people, and it's issue-oriented, so we don't have to talk about politics and anything that's divisive. I think it's a pretty clear issue that...
it's not partisan.
Crosses borders.
So, yes.
Yeah, and I guess for me, I really like to look at it as a celebration of our clean water and, you know, come down and celebrate our lake and that, you know, what we have here.
Right.
And really focus on that. I mean, that's the bright piece of Rock Creek Alliance is, hey, we still have this beautiful lake. We have this beautiful wilderness that surrounds our lake. Let's celebrate that.
It's a party. It's an annual meeting and party.
It's a party.
Rock Creek puts on a good party.
We do.
Absolutely. It's essential. Okay, well, thank you, Gene Girth and John Edwards. You're both board members on Rock Creek Alliance, doing vital work for our community and our environment and our world. So thanks for coming in, and thanks for doing the work you do. And again, a shout-out to Mary Costello, I know.
And our other board members, and, lots of people.
People that have contributed over the years,
Again, a big party at Matchwood in the Granary District on the 18th of August from 5 to 8. Big auction and ways to support our community and good music again.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks so much for having us.
All right.
Appreciate it.